When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
People were like, Courtney was so gassed up to see Savannah. Bitch, I'm in here by myself with a jar of Skittles and endless amount of tea, like sitting up here, like trying to figure out if who I'm talking to is really who I'm talking to. And this pretty ass girl walks in. Yeah, I'm hyped. And yeah, I'm excited. And yes, we're going to be messy and spill the tea. Damn right. Hell yeah. You would do it too for a check.
Welcome back to That's a Gay-Ass Podcast, the podcast where we ask, who do you blame for making you gay? My name's Eric Williams, I'm your host, and I'm so happy you're here for one of my favorite episodes thus far. This is with Courtney Revolution from Netflix's The Circle. If you've listened to the podcast before, you know I'm a fan of this show, and when Courtney said yes to being on Gay-Ass Podcast, it made my day, and I am very pleased to say he lived up to the expectation. It is such a good conversation. We talk about what his experience was like filming the show, what the reaction has been after, and also the reason or what he blames for making him gay is one of my favorite answers thus far. So we're going to get straight into it, my friends. Make sure you follow Courtney at Courtney Revolution on social media and follow me at Eric Wills. Also, do me a favor and give us a 5-star review, subscribe or follow wherever you listen to the podcast. And you know what, y'all? Let's have a gay as hell time. Courtney Revolution is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Come on, lights. Come on, camera. Come on, action.
Come on, podcast.
Yes. I am so happy to see your face. I'm such a fan. I am so happy to get to talk to you. How are you doing with the crazy whirlwind of the show and the finale airing? How are you?
I'm doing good. This has been like wild, right? So I feel like I've kind of prepared for this since like I saw Lauren Conrad walk across a beach on Laguna. And, you know, I still just wasn't ready. I just wasn't prepared for all of this.
So it's probably been kind of crazy to like watch the show months after you actually filmed it. When did you come back from filming it? How long was it until they actually started airing it?
I think I came back a little bit after Halloween. So like that first week of October, and then the show came out like end of April.
So there's like many months you're just like, you knew something big was going to happen, but you just like had this anticipation.
It was wild because I had to keep this secret for so long. You know what I mean? For some people, I literally did just fall off the face of the earth. People thought I was in rehab. People thought like I had like a family thing going on. Like it really was strange because like my own job at the time, I just kind of picked up the phone and I like to my boss was like, I have to leave the country. I can't really tell you why. And I'm really sorry. And I hope I still have my job when I come back. And they were kind of like, I guess.
They're like, well, I guess it's an international drug trafficking ring and we just have to support Courtney, whatever his endeavors are. I mean, that I can't imagine being told you're just like leaving the country and then you just like, but obviously for a good reason, because this show, Courtney, I'm not just here because you are a big deal. You're here because I'm obsessed with you. I'm obsessed with The Circle. I'm obsessed with whoever will listen. I will talk to them about this show. I think it's so smart and well done and entertaining. When you were living it, actually filming this show, was it as tense and high stakes as it seemed, or was it, did they do a good job of really heightening it on for the show itself?
It was even more anxiety riddling than it came across on TV. I am talking when you are standing in front of that huge TV screen and you start to see those numbers turn around. I am talking like full body tingles, like my bladder is about to empty itself. Like if you've ever seen a reality TV competition and been like, my fave is about to go home, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. Just imagine yourself in your fave's shoes. Like, it's 50 times more intense. And you're there by yourself. It's silent.
Oh, so. I can't imagine. I already have high anxiety just like living in my one bedroom in Queens. I can't imagine being like filming a full television show where the stakes cannot be higher. And then also sitting in a room by yourself. Like, I would have had to have so many nervous bathroom trips. I can't even begin to tell you. Like, I don't know how you were able to cope with the drama of it all. But yeah, you do a good job of like talking out loud to yourself. And I do know that people probably ask you so many questions about how the show is filmed. And I just want to do a few of those before we get into some of the other things. But was it hard to get used to the format of it when you first got there? Or how much did the producers talk you through what your day-to-day and how the show actually worked?
I would say it's a little bit like riding a bicycle, which admittedly I'm not the best at. Like, we had like a first circle chat and everyone, it seemed like, was so like able to get their messages out. And I was like, what fruit would you be in a salad? And they were like, no, you have to say it like in a certain kind of way. So that didn't take long, but it definitely took a full 24 hours for me to get it right. Like, the difference between saying circle, submit my rankings, and circle, submit my ratings. Day was tricky.
What were you supposed to say?
It was like, circle, submit my ratings, but I kept saying rankings over and over and over, like bloodshot, red eyes, like exhausted. Like, I don't know. Everything is like so intense. And it's just like, I can't get the word right.
So then would a producer be like, try it again?
They're like, love, just make sure when you're saying it, make sure that you say rating. And I'm gonna go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Circle, submit my ranking. And they'd be like, all right, love, just make sure that you say writing.
Like, am I talking to a producer or is this Chloe? I truly can't imagine, but it seemed like you were one of the first people to really nail the energy of sending a message that is received really well and shows your full personality. Cause I think that's honestly part of the game, is being able to communicate your energy through this text. And I oftentimes forget that they film it, of course, in the UK, but they always show these exteriors from all these random cities around the world. And you're like, that's Chicago, that's Pittsburgh. I heard that you had to, was it 3 weeks or 2 weeks before filming started that you were quarantining?
Yeah, it was 2.5 weeks of quarantining and my first time out of the country. Never had a passport before. I felt like maybe I could potentially, in a one of a million, have a chance. Maybe. I was like, just in case, bitch, let's get this passport. And I was just there in the flat. Excuse me. I was in the flat, girl.
In the flat, of course. How British. I mean, wow. First time out of the country. So where are you from originally?
Born in New York. And then I moved to the Poconos, in my teen years. And then, I live here now as of 5 years ago, coming up on 6.
From the Poconos to Los Angeles, we love. Well, I'm actually in New York City, but I've been tempted to move to California for many years. And people who listen to the podcast know that it's been a journey, and we're hoping to make it soon. So, Courtney, I can't wait to have a Kiki in LA with you.
Eric, get your ass out here. Pack the motherfucking bags.
Courtney, I feel the pull. I feel the energy. I want the hiking. I want the pokeballs.
You want the acai bowls, oh the ginger God. Shots.
Oh, can I yes. just tell you, I love a ginger shot. I love an acai bowl. I was in LA for a few months a couple years ago, and I went so ham on the acai bowls. I'm not joking. I either A, got food poisoning from one, or B, my body rejected it because I had too many acai bowls in a 2 week period. I got off the sauce for a few months because I had too many acai bowls. They're so good though.
But they're so high in fiber.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I think I maybe overdid the fiber. I was out of commish, but I love it. Oh, give me an acai bowl with some granola and some peanut. I love like an ice creamy acai bowl. Give me some peanut butter, a nut butter on top. Mmm.
Listen, I actually was a barista in my past life. So like acai bowls, I like do them in my sleep. So I got you. Like I have like a blender, like the one I used to have at my old job. I have one in my house.
Oh my God.
I will blend up a good bowl real quick.
Okay. I bet you can't. Wait, Courtney, tell me, what is your TOC, your toppings of choice on the acai bowl?
My toppings of choice is, it has to have some strawberry, hemp, vanilla, granola. I love tart stuff. So it's got to have kiwi, pineapple, strawberry, and a drizzle of honey with some bee pollen on top.
Oh, bam. My. Wow. Bam is what you're the emerald of acai bowls. I mean, truly. Give me a bee pollen. I don't know what it does nutritionally, but it's a little dust. And we like a fine art acai bowl.
Yeah, it's like a little garnish. Add a little color to it.
Yes. Well, I have to say, I am so excited to not only get inside scoop from the circle, but also just like your early life inspo. So as we're talking more about the show, are you still in touch with your fellow cast members? Like who are you closest with?
We all still talk, like we're all in like a group chat, since the show ended. I probably talk to Lee the most. Lee calls me. Lee is like, the family member that I never knew I needed, but I'm so glad that I have. Like, he calls just to say like, I love you. Like legit. Like I'll call, like, or he'll leave me like a 6-second voice note just being like, hey, superstar, I just wanted to say you're great. All right, bye. Like he's truly a friend. Like the thank you for being a friend, Lee embodies that. And Savannah is like my neighbor. So like, girl, we were talking like right before this.
I was wondering, yeah, because Savannah's in LA. So what part of LA are you all in?
The Valley.
Oh, love. Yes, yes. Yeah. So yeah, Savannah, that was crazy about Savannah because when we were watching, you know, my husband and I were just like so into the show and we were convinced that Savannah was going to make it till the end. And that was one of the biggest shocks of the show is when that didn't happen. Were you, when you were playing the actual game, filming it, did you also get the energy that she was really a competitor or did you think that there was kind of an issue that she was going too hard?
I thought throughout the show, like especially from the beginning, I thought Savannah was gonna like blow us over, like bulldoze us over, and I was like, okay, that's the girl I'm gonna be aligned with. You know, reading her profile, we had so many things in common. I swore, like when she got blocked, I was in shock. I wish they would have showed like my awful reaction. I was like, like so extra, like what the fuck? I was like completely surprised. Shocked.
Oh my God. Same. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why the show is defying the odds of other reality shows is because there's still the element of surprise where a lot of the other shows you can start to guess maybe trends. But when Savannah left, I was like, oh, so they're really going to fuck things up. Like they're really going to change the game. And then it just got crazier from there.
Mm-hmm. There's just the element of you don't know everything. You only know what is going on inside of your apartment, period. So, I mean, all kinds of surprises are bound to happen.
Oh, totally. And then when they ask you to be the Joker, I'm sure that was another twist where you're just like, well, I have a choice here to either do this perfectly and stay in the game or fuck one thing up and then be outed and then be out of here. Like that, like did you know as you were the Joker, like it you knew exactly what to do, or did you really have to like take those little notebooks you had and write down your notes and strategize?
I had little to no time to come up with some sort of plan for this. You know, you just kind of walk in the room and it's like, there it is. And by the way, here's Kat and Mitchell and bam, you're about to talk to their ass. What's the plan? It's like, before we hit it, now what's the plan? All right. Well, I don't want to be nice because that's boring TV. How about I just pretend to be one of the girls and yeah, we're going to make them go loco. and that's what I felt like I wanted to do. Not because I hate women, just because I thought that it would be entertaining to see them all kind of be like, wait, are you really? Especially because they had already been that element with Savannah.
Yeah, I do find that the girl on girl drama in the show is like always, it's always tough because I watched The Circle France as well. And there's I think the same thing can happen when there are certain bonds you assume are going to be there. And then when the bonds are broken, it's like everything, there's hellfire. And of course, there's the whole catfishing element where like men are trying to play up a female idea or, you know, the fact that Delisa could be so effective as Trevor was like, as the game went on, knew that she was playing an amazing game, but I don't think I didn't give her as much credit as I could have at the beginning of just like how hard it is to pull off actually believing that. Did any part of you think that Trevor was not Trevor at the beginning, at least?
In the very, very beginning, I remember saying the dad thing, the overusing the, like y'all didn't see it as much, but like every game or every kind of challenge, it came back to like, being a dad and this is my daughter. And I remember I kept saying, it all kind of seems one note. Mm. But as you sit, because remember, there's so many hours in the day where you're not talking and you're not doing anything. And I'm just staring at the TV screen. Throughout the game, it was like, okay, well, I get that Trevor is kind of are they real or not? But we have like Emily in the way, and we have like Teralisha in the way, and like everything, it just kept like popping. Things that I perceived to be bigger threats kept popping up, and that distracted me, because I'm sure if me and River had our way, Trevor would have gone. But it was like the cat thing happened, and then here's John all of a sudden. There were like so many things that threw us off the trail.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that the John profile was, you know, making him the Santa Claus psychic. I was like, who is going to believe this? But like, they did to their credit. They did a pretty good job with it.
Listen, John was so nice that you were inclined to believe it, I think.
Yeah, who's going to be the asshole that's like, this Santa Claus is, he's a fucking teenage girl. It's like, no, it's an old gay man that has a beautiful family, and you would be a shitty person to think otherwise. So you know what? I do understand that strategy. When you were first talking to River, any part of you think that River was a catfish?
Here's the thing. When I think back on me being there in the living room talking to River for the first time, it didn't cross my mind, because we had built a rapport so quick. We had built the Kardashians. Like, when I tell you, right before Bryant, who is now Ikar, left, there was an at-risk chat, and we had all this fun banter. And that's sort of where the Kardashian alliance was created. It wasn't so much that I thought, okay, well, River could be a catfish, so much as I didn't care. I love him, and we're going to the finals. And that was a lot I kept communicating, but the bitchiness of it all was what made it to the TV. It was like, girl, I don't even care. I don't care who's behind the big hair. Bitch, we going to the final. Like, I kept saying stuff like that all the time. Even before the final rating, it was like, well, we're voting River third. But before that, I kept saying, you know, honestly, it has been like such an incredible journey. I don't care who that person is behind the photo. I want to know that person. I don't care who it is. We going to war, you know?
But they kept those statements out in order just to make better TV, is what you're saying?
Of course, yes. And I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always so interesting when people film some of these things, because I cannot imagine the experience of going through a fully multi-dimensional emotional journey and then communicating all those dimensions. And of course, you're only seeing a percentage of those come through because of what the editors are choosing to keep in. And so does anything stick out in your mind of like what you thought the edit was maybe not as fair for you, or that you maybe wish had gone differently? Or did it all feel pretty true to the experience?
The things that I wish that they left in, I think, were things that humanized me more. I think that there were things that were left out in order for y'all to feel like, when I lost, thank the Lord. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the waiting, like the me bringing up my dad all the way at the end was like not a thing. Like, there's a whole conversation that me and Trevor had about that. Like, there's a point in the show where Trevor's like, you know, me and Courtney have a camaraderie. I'm sure as an audience, y'all were like, what camaraderie? Because y'all never saw that. But we had built a bond off of the fact that my dad left me, and I'm so glad that you're such a proud dad. I was there to talk about my dad and to talk about how I had no friends, bitch, and LA's weird and fake. And like, you know what I mean? That's my story. That's my truth of why I was there. But instead, y'all got spilling the tea and all the girls suck and y'all getting out, and we love Kat, but her ass is getting out too. And that's what you got, because that's what's entertaining. So I understand it and I get it. I just hope that somewhere down the line, I get the opportunity to kind of show a different dimension of myself.
Definitely. Well, I think it's also why it's so great you're doing something like this, because it's an opportunity to kind of chat and see the full dimensions, because there is a reason why so many people love you, is because we can see the energy you bring out. And of course it was a game, and of course it was strategy, but also we're witnessing like the humor, the wits, the smart, the heart. So I want to let you know that I fully see it. And I'm just like, I can't wait to see the next thing things you do, because it's clearly exciting things ahead is how I feel.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that.
Oh, of course. So as we're chatting about this, I know there was an amazing article in BuzzFeed about what the behind the scenes filming stuff is, but I'm curious from your perspective, like, for example, the role that the producers play, like they are when the, in one of the person that was voted out is going to visit one person, and then the producers will knock on your door in order to make you think they're coming into your room. Is that real? Did they actually knock on your door and then to get the reaction shot?
Yes. And also question mark, because it's silent. It's so weird. Like, as a reality TV stan, that was like the one thing that like just never crossed my mind, is how fucking quiet it all is. Mm-hmm. So is it them knocking? Is it someone walking by with someone else's groceries? Is it someone closing a door that's another door in the building? Like, what is it? I was so jumpy. I was like, to everything, you know what I mean? But there were definitely moments where I thought someone was like coming in for sure, and it was like nobody at all. Like, I was like, and then no one came in. When Savannah came in, my brain blew up, because I was shocked. I was like,
well, that's also must be crazy too, to not see someone for any like other human being for so long. And like, obviously, like, I know you like maybe saw producers a little bit, but like, I'm sure to actually have like a heart-to-heart conversation with someone was probably like over abundance of emotions.
Eric, people were like, Courtney was so gassed up to see Savannah. Bitch, I'm in here by myself with a jar of Skittles and endless amount of tea, like sitting up here, like trying to figure out if who I'm talking to is really who I'm talking to. And this pretty ass girl walks in. Yeah, I'm hyped. And yeah, I'm excited. And yes, we're going to be messy and spill the tea. Damn right. Hell yeah. You would do it too for a check. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh my God, I'm dying. I mean, it's so true. It's like, of course I would do that. And especially knowing the stakes of the game, the fact that you're on camera, the fact that you've been isolated, you're in a different country, what's at stake? Like, yeah, I mean, no one can fault you for the reaction you have when someone walks into that, to your solo apartment where you're just sitting, minding your own, talking to a TV screen. So actually Matt was asking me to ask you about like when you are hanging out, can it like when your fellow contestants are screaming, can you hear any of it from your apartment, or is it truly silent at all times?
I swear on my, I'm the messiest one on the cast. I would tell you, no, you can, when I tell you it is the most deafening silence, you can hear that air conditioner. Maybe that's about it. Silent, like silent. You don't hear shit. I'll say this, during the super secret influencer thing, we all thought we heard someone scream, and it was someone outside on the street that was screaming so incredibly loud, and it was the only thing we heard through the entire game.
Wow. I mean, they must really space you out in this giant building.
They would have to, because like I couldn't hear, not even like a thump, 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 like nothing. I'm sure they couldn't hear like the NSYNC music or anything like that either. That was some good editing. They could not hear that. People online are like, but they could hear the NSYNC. No, they could not, y'all, please.
I do remember that. I do remember thinking like that, how can they not hear the screams where they can hear like bye, bye, bye? Okay. Yeah, I mean, these editors, man, these editors deserve
something. They're good.
They're good. They know what they're doing. This is not their first rodeo or season. Did you every day go outside to like the roof or wherever, or was it like you would, like, what would you do to kind of take care of your mental health?
For me, to be honest, I was fine in the apartment. I'm truly a homebody. They at some points were like, girl, okay, now you looking at this TV for like 12 hours, you want to go up to the roof and get, and I'm like, no, I'm fine. And they're like, no, bitch. Okay. We're going to send someone to bring you to the roof. Like, like, do you want to go to the yoga room? No, I'm fine on the couch. Like, if you watch the show, the bed and the couch, those are like my two, the bed, the couch, and my little kitchen table with my little microwave meal. But they do like try to make sure that like you get to the roof, yeah, get some air, you go to the yoga room, the gym, what have you. I just was like, okay, I'm in bed. I'm coloring.
I mean, listen, you and I think are kindred spirits. I am so a homebody as well. Like, give me a pint of Ben and Jerry's and a dream, and I will truly, I can last 3 weeks on that. I mean, multiple pints, but I'll be home. I'll be home.
I feel that.
What, food wise, I mean, maybe this is a dumb question, but like when you, obviously people request like groceries and things, like would you eat the exact same thing every day? Like what would you get? What was on your list?
Eric, I just want to preface this by saying I'm the jerk, right? I'm the one that like can't cook and then decided to go on a show where I would be alone. So Courtney can make things that go in the oven and come out. So I had chicken nuggets and French fries every day and like a little oven meal. I think there was like a chicken tikka masala, something from a grocery store. And of course my jar of Skittles and my endless supply of tea.
Of course. So wait, when, was it like these British like grocery store brands that the things you just had no idea what they were?
I'm the jerk, Eric. I did not realize that everything I love is not available outside of this country. So like they wouldn't even let me bring in like peanut butter. Like I had purposely with my chaperone made sure I got like 6 king size, like Reese's, like I was ready. And then like a day or two had gone by and I was like, y'all, where are my Reese's? And they were like, no nuts in here. So it was a lot of like British stuff that I just don't eat. But I mean, you can get a chicken nugget anywhere, right?
Sure. Chicken nuggets are transcendent. So have you, if you could go back, would you change your strategy in any way?
No. I couldn't. I had fun doing it how I did it. I know it wasn't the winning strategy, but when I watched the show back, I just feel like, damn, you did that. So I'm proud of what I did.
You should be. I mean, and I'm also interested, like, obviously, because this was the second season. Did you watch the first season, like, multiple times? Have you just seen it once? Like, did you need to do any prep before you went?
Oh, my God, Eric. That first season changed my life. Me and my friend sat on my sectional, my glamour sectional downstairs, and we just put it on randomly. And by the end of the first episode, me and my best friend looked at each other at the same time, and we both at the same time were like, you could do that. And ta-da. Before I went into the show, for real, I was out there obviously in England, so I was able to watch the UK versions of the show. And once I saw how they had turned up the strategy on that second season, and Bryant had gotten blocked, I knew, okay, girl, I need to tap into that UK second season brain and start getting into the mud with the girls, because they were great on that second season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's also, when you watch different countries' versions, I think it's cool to see the different energies and strategies. And like Circle France, I just finished it, and they're actually pretty cutthroat. I mean, the first, I won't give anything away, but the first elimination, the person goes to someone's room, and instead of being like, wow, that was crazy, she was like, what the fuck? Like, first, and you're just like, oh my God, are they gonna fight? Are they gonna catch hands? But like it's a different energy. But I think you're right. Like as the seasons are going, it's heightening. The strategy is becoming more less subtle, more overt. It's like, which is just obviously really good TV, and they know what they are doing. One of my good friends was in final auditions for season 2 of A Circle, and I thought it was maybe going to happen, but it didn't. But I there's clearly a very specific personality types that excel in the show. But how did you get the first audition for it? Like, what was the process to actually sign on to the show?
For me, I just filled out the application and they just emailed me back. They were like, all right, girl, let's talk. And it was like a couple kikis later, and then it was like, girl, what you mean you ain't got no passport? And I was like, All right, time to start putting this money away for the passport.
You better expedite that shit.
Oh, yeah. Believe that.
Damn. Well, one of my final Circle questions before we move on is the quintessential hallway walk when they follow you down that hallway. How do they direct that? Can you explain to me how that works?
Okay, so I was praying, first of all, that I would not get blocked so badly, but I wanted also just as badly to walk down this goddamn blue hallway. And when the inner circle thing happened, they were like, all right, we're going to take you downstairs. And I went downstairs, and there's just the amazing cameraman friendly, fun. He's like, you know what? We're just going to walk. Just walk. Just walk this way and we'll film it. I was down there maybe 15 minutes and we just walked every which way, opened the door, you know, and walk all the way. It was a dream, especially to see it on TV. Because it wasn't like the regular like hallway walk. They like did some rainbow pride. They said, Miss Hunty's coming down the hallway on this one, girl. Let's get some tie-dye graphics on this. I said, oh, push through, circle editors.
I mean, yes, truly, like giving us pride before June. It's like when Michelle Buteau gets to do it in the final, in the finale moment, it's so, I could not love her more. And it's out of all the circle shows on the franchise, I think Michelle is obviously the best and a God-given gift. Funny story about my Michelle Buteau connection is that I went to college in New York, and my freshman year, they brought in a comedian to do like a welcome week first performance, like, you know, go out with your new friends. And Michelle Buteau was like the headlining comedian. This was 2008, which I guess just truly dated myself. But we watched this comedian and she was talking about the Obamas and she was talking about, you know, the dress she got that morning at Forever 21. And she was just like, she was so effing funny. And I was like, who the fuck is this person? And I think I've heard her even say in interviews, like, she is happy when her success happened because it became much more sweet. But I know she was one of those people that was hustling for so many years. And then, and everyone seeing her was like, this person should be famous yesterday, but then when it happened, it exploded. And I think I just wanting to let the universe know that I love Michelle Buteau so much. And I'm grateful that she is a part of this earth.
You know what I love about Michelle is that she is just such a real person. It really meant a lot to me, Eric, that even after the show, Michelle just like checks in on us. Like she just checked in on my stepdad the other day, like, hey, how's your stepdad doing? Like, and I just thought that that was so incredibly sweet of her. You know, just to time.
You can tell she's such a genuine person that happens to be one of the funniest people on earth. It's like, it's, you cannot fake that sort of genuine wit and funniness, but also like kindness. And I don't know if this is like a little controversial, but on the episode that was the, I guess, kind of the reunion moment that David Spade hosted, I noticed some sass between David Spade and Michelle Buteau. And I really, and obviously I was like on Michelle's side, because I think that it, I feel like Michelle is the type of person that, and people say this about you as well, that like you watch them and you feel like you're friends with them, right? That's like mm-hmm. the best kind of person. So I feel like I was watching my friend like kind of give an eye to the guy making kind of annoying jokes. And look, we love a David Spade, but some of the jokes I was like, okay, David, let's keep on keeping this moving, David.
Eric said, next. He said, you better leave Michelle alone.
Truly, it was like, not my Miss Buteau. But what a moment for us all. Michelle Buteau, gay icon. So speaking of gay icons, I want to ask you, Courtney, the podcast question. Whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, Courtney?
Eric, I don't know what it is, but the film Clueless made me gay.
Oh, Courtney Revolution. What an answer. Clueless is very big on my list as well. And I mean, let's unpack it. What about it for you was like that really screamed to you at first?
There's something about the Cher character that I connect with, the wanting to do well, even if it's not the right way, the never leaving well enough alone of it all, the good fashion sense of it all, girl. Oh. That, you know, love her dad, like that, like that's me. So like I've always like felt like that Cher Horowitz character was me. I had the big ass movie poster in my bedroom. Like I've ordered that bitch, like, yes, up on the wall above my bed. Like I am Courtney Horowitz and I want the world to know it.
Oh my God. I mean, if only we had her closet with the actual like digitized catalog. Yeah, you can see it. I was like, I don't know exactly sure how it can catalog pictures and then like it automatically pulls it up, but I'm not going to ask questions. I'm just going to hope to have a gorgeous mansion with an overbearing father. And also, can my stepbrother be Paul Rudd? Oh my God.
He has not aged.
Damn day. This man is so gorgeous. And the things I would do, Courtney. I mean, I hope he's very happy and taken care of, because he deserves that. He's another person that's not only gorgeous, but he seems to be like a good person. I if someone were to tell me Paul Rudd was a dick, it would be a hard day for me.
I agree. And I'd be surprised. I don't get those vibes from him.
No, not at all. Although, speaking of, wasn't there controversy with, oh my God, I'm blanking, Cher Horowitz's best friend in Clueless?
Stacey Dash.
What's the deal? Stacey Dash was having a moment of controversy, right?
I think once upon a time ago, her ex-husband or something said he was hypnotized into marrying her or something like that. I think that happened. I think I said that somewhere on a show somewhere. Like, there was an article in the news. Stacey Dash was hypnotizing people. Look that up.
I mean, I believe it. I also heard so many things like, yeah, I think, oh, well, there's literally from like a month and a half ago, because I remember hearing that maybe she was a Trump supporter. That was like a part of the controversy. And there's a literal headline right now from March of this year that says Stacey Dash, Clueless actress, quote, truly done supporting Donald Trump. It says that she apologizes for her past support of Donald Trump. That's not who I am. Well, I hope that's true, Stacey Dash. I really hope that's true. Because she is, I mean, so good on Clueless. I mean, her relationship with the guy from Scrubs, which I'm forgetting his name, but
Donald Faison.
My younger brother is obsessed with Scrubs more than I can say. He's truly, it's his number one. But I think when she's driving on the highway and she's freaking out, and then they start desperately making out after, that feels like a heightened version of my life where I'm being neurotic and I need my husband to talk me down. But instead of makeouts, I'll just have him scratch my back. But that being said, I think the crown jewel of Clueless, it's Brittany Murphy. I think I miss her. I love her, and we don't deserve her.
Yeah, I agree. She really did the damn thing in that movie. Shout out to Ty.
You're a virgin who can't drive.
She took that box, sauntered her ass up out of Cher's house. I said, I know that's right, Miss Ty. Get her ass together.
I know. That's the thing that's so crazy. It's like, sometimes you think like Cher, we love Cher, but she did not always treat her friends the way that she should, even though she tried. And I think, but also she created a monster in Brittany Murphy and making her feel hotter than she used to feel. And you know, who hasn't acted a bit like a bitch when they got a little bit of extra hairspray in and a gorgeous lip?
You know, you go to the gym for 90 days and you say, you know what, bitch, I am that hot bitch. You say, I am the gym crush.
Oh my God, I am the gym crush. I have to tell you, Courtney, that in this pandemic, I went through a few months where I had zero employment. Everything I had going for me was completely donezo. And so I literally, because I was so bored and, we'll say it, depressed, I just worked out every damn day and I got in better shape than I ever had. Of course, was like feeling not great about myself, like career-wise, but I was like, at least I can look good. I took more thirst traps than ever. I just like became different. And then I started to get busy again and I haven't worked out a day since. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna button up a little bit. But mark my words, the second I'm back at that Planet Fitness, you'll see it on Instagram.
I support you on this journey. Until then, oversized t-shirts like me and comfortability. I support you.
Oh my gosh. Give me an elastic waist and a oversized t-shirt.
A good jogger moment.
Yes, but with a tapered leg, with a tighter on the ankle, I can show you my ankles. Oh my God. Well, I do love Clueless so much. I think it made a generation of young men gay. It's so campy. It's so, I mean, when you get to see the opulence, the richness, the time period of it all, the guy that she dates that like ends up being gay, I think when I was watching that, Courtney, when I was younger, I think like part of me thought it was funny. Part of me did not understand what was happening because I was so deeply there. Does that make sense?
Yes, because I remember like not getting that specific part of the movie all of the way until I like became a specific age and I was like, oh, I was Christian. Oh, I get it. Without the Rat Pack. All right, sure. I feel you.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, who among us did not have like that close girlfriend? Like the lines were a little blurred and then it became very clear that no, you were the gay one, that it just was not going to happen. Like, did you ever dapple in heterosexuality? Did you ever have a girlfriend? Like, what was your journey?
Listen, I am as gay as the day is long. Me and a girlfriend never happened. Actually, that's a lie. In the fifth grade, I dated a girl so that we could trade Sailor Moon manga books. She had like the last four that I had wanted to read out of a series. So we did date for those 2 weeks.
As you do, Courtney, it's the tale as old as time. Who among us has not dated against our wishes in order to get a manga book?
Manga, Sailor Moon, you know, the little book there, a little comic moment.
You know what? I'm devastated. I said manga. Yes, Sailor Moon. Sure. I mean, also like elementary school relationships. I definitely had a girlfriend in third grade, and I'm sending her love right now. She became a good friend of mine years later. But I think it, you know, I said this before on this podcast, but I had a girlfriend one time in high school just to kind of to dabble and see. And it just confirmed what I myself and the entire world knew, which was that, you know, I was destined to be a fagot. pause. So we're all doing what we're meant to do, Courtney, is all I'm saying. Go so ahead. Then when were you, did you have a late bloom coming out? Were you an early riser? What's the deal?
I was like the first gay person in my like graduating class or whatever. So like I came out when I was like 13.
Wow.
Yeah, I was young. I feel like, you know, it's like one of those things where back in the day you just go on MySpace and you just change your sexual orientation like on the last day of school and then you just let it marinate over the summer. Yeah, so then you walk in, bitch, with Milkshake by Khalees playing in your head, girl, as you strut through the hallway. Rings on the of the,
But it turns out you're in the circle down the hallway, and it's like, wait a minute. And was this in the Poconos where you were in high school?
Yeah, I was in the Poconos. I was gay. People were like, oh my God, what a big deal. And I was like, but are we really surprised? Like, don't you still want to be friends? And everyone was kind of like, yeah, I guess. And then it became a thing where it's like, if you were like new and came to the school, oh my God, I'm falling out of my chair. If you were new and came to the school and you like didn't like me or you had a problem with the fact that I was gay, then you became like the problem. Then it was like, watch your back in that bus lot. Just one of them snap your fingers. Sergio, get him. Like, football team comes up.
A hand grabs his mouth and he's out of the frame. I mean, that's great though. You had allies. You had a full army of people ready to, I mean, talk about a revolution. I mean, it truly like, but see, that's like what we love to hear is that people embrace. I actually have not thought about this. I'm having a flashback right now that when I was truly in elementary school, which is kind of devastating, but I would get made fun of in elementary school for being maybe girly or gay or whatever it was. And I remember it was maybe like a basketball game or someone from another school was making fun of me. And this girl, I'll name her because she was such an ally, Chelsea Carter. She said, Eric is not gay, but like if he was, who cares or whatever it was. She was like, stop. Like it, I remember she was fully defending me and it felt so good. And I'm not kidding. I was probably like 11 years old when this happened. And I still remember this all these years later. But to have someone advocate for you when someone else is othering you in that way is such a powerful thing. And like, if anyone here is listening who is straight or not, and like standing up for someone that's being targeted in that way, it is a very powerful thing to do that sticks with you. I think, I mean, you clearly remember from when you were in high school and people would stick up for you. It's like a really, I think, important, beautiful thing to do for the people you love.
Yeah. And you know, for me, it became, you know, once people stopped making fun of me for being gay, it became sort of my mission to stop the bullies from like bullying like the nerdier people or like the quote unquote, you know, intelligent people, which I never really understood. Why are you making fun of somebody for having a good ass brain? That don't make no goddamn sense. So, you know, for me, I always used comedy as like my defense. Like, you ain't gonna make fun of Miss Jenny over here just trying to understand the damn algebra looking the way that you look. Now. Hello.
Yes. It's so funny when you're young. I remember knowing deep down when people would make fun of kids for being really smart. I'm like, these are the people that are going to have the actual good jobs and the happy futures. And I'm going to be over here trying to, you know, do fucking the producers on Broadway. But like, but actually, that's actually, I wanted to ask you, were you in high school? Were you a theater queen? What was your like genre?
I think my genre was Nestbox. No. to be honest, even in high school, I still had a YouTube channel. Like, and I use my YouTube channel to address bullies. And so I was the internet kid, which like wasn't a thing back then. So I was a little weird. Mm. But I guess I would categorize myself as... I didn't do the plays. I was in like every club after school. It's like I didn't fit into like a thing, you know? I was friends with everyone from those groups, but I was always like the different one. Like I could go in the cafeteria and sit wherever with whoever, you know? I don't know. I just carried myself a certain way, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you were involved and you were also not subscribing to just one type of thing. Were you, so then as you were in high school and YouTubing, what was the goal in your future? Did you, you know, move straight to LA to, you know, was it comedy or was it like, what's the long-term thing that you've been striving towards or dreaming about?
Well, back then I wanted to be in fashion really badly. I wanted to, you know, move to LA, go to FITM. Like I had gotten my acceptance to FITM, like the entire thing. And then FITM said, girl, where them coins is at? And I said, ooh, we don't have those. So I stayed behind. I just went to community college here. Well, not here, but in Pennsylvania. And then I interned at Disney, did that. Yeah, I lived in Orlando for a period of time.
No, wow.
Oh, yes. In food service. Yes.
Wait, you interned in food service?
Yes. They have like marketing courses, which I was there to take. But in order to take like the courses, you have to work in one of their fields. And with my extensive retail background, they said, fantastic. We're going to put you in a place that you have no experience in. Food! So imagine going from like folding t-shirts for like 4 hours in an outlet mall to like a 12-hour food service, 6 days a week, getting paid like $100 a week.
No.
The rent is coming out of the paycheck every week. Like it's...
You know, I've lived. I mean, you lived through it. You survived, Courtney. That's survived. What you did. So, I mean, Disney is Disney. I've heard so many. I'm just gonna leave it at Disney is Disney. You know what Disney is? It is, in fact, Disney. And so you got past the food service at Disney and then you went back to LA, or where'd you go
after Disney? I went back to Pennsylvania, packed my bags and moved to LA. And then my thing that I wanted to do here was build my online presence, build my platform, and continue to speak about celebrities and media. That's always sort of been the goal. So when the circle came, it was like, okay, well, I can win the money for my dad. And then after that, take whatever momentum and continue to speak to people and the hot goss.
The second that they introduced you on the show, I was like, it's what he is doing. I just felt this kindred spirit because I'm like, what you were doing is so smart, but it's still authentic to you and you're not going about it in an icky way. And I think that's one of the smartest ways to be on the circle is to not only make connections and fight for, you know, whether it's a parent or whether it's, you know, a cause that's important to you, but also if you happen to be able to widen your audience along the way, like that's such a great thing to do. And I, you know, someone asked me if I would audition for the circle. And I think I don't know my answer, but I think if I were to do it, I would 150% do it the way that you did it, Courtney. I really do.
Thank you, Eric. I really actually appreciate that.
Good.
It's been rough.
How is it? Are fans being are tough or like how's it going?
You know what it is, Eric? The hate is not even bad. I'm just sensitive.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
When you click the circle hashtag on Twitter and it's like, thank God Courtney didn't win. He sucks and hates women. It did sting, but we had sort of like a finale event, like a finale party recently, like this past week with the season one cast, and our cast, some of us who flew in, and the love I felt and just the camaraderie, the community, the congratulations, the Courtney, you were so interesting and fun to watch, the representation, those things really turned me around.
Yeah, I think it. I think it's the critics and the trolls can be much louder sometimes than the actual supporters. And as in another sensitive flower myself, I think that it's. I can. You know, it's so understandable. I mean, I've talked about before. Like, it's such a smaller scale, but like, I've had things go viral on TikTok for like not. Not all positive reasons, like getting into Trump TikTok and getting completely trashed on by tens of thousands of people and, you know, being called things that you was so not your intention anyway. And, you know, I think it's just like such a really brutal part of what you and I are doing, which is trying to access a bigger audience, but also having to deal with the struggles along the way of either pissing people off or just like being the brunt of really angry people that are not getting the full picture. It's not easy, but I obviously, you know, that you have so many supporters and, you know, it's just, I think it's just taking every day of like, you know, at least knowing in your core that you are leading from a place of love and trying to get past those haters, because the Netflix haters, they must such a big audience that you're just bound to get so many people being extra.
Oh yeah. I mean, this was a worldwide premiere. So like when it came out, everyone in the world could open up that Netflix and see us all. So it has truly been a worldwide response, and it'll continue, right? Because different areas of the world will discover the show at different times and my skin will only get thicker. So I know that all of it is good for me, even yes. The negative.
Definitely. And I think, you know, what's interesting too is like when inevitably season 3 comes out, it's going to get renewed attention and people are going to want to talk to, you know, the people from the last season. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how things go. And, you know, like I kind of tangent, but I, with Chloe, for example, I just like at the beginning, I think as an audience member, you were clearly directed in a way of how to feel about certain people. And I think, I don't know if you agree with this, but at the beginning, it felt like we were supposed to be a little like, not confused by Chloe, but like, I wasn't fully on board at the beginning just because of the extraness and you're not sure what's authentic. And then for me and a lot of people I've talked to, it's like, as it goes, you're like, oh no, this is her. And she is so authentically herself. And she just happens to be hilarious and, you know, can say some silly things, but like I was obsessed with her by the end of it. Is Chloe someone that you feel like you had a genuine connection with once you actually met her?
Listen, I initially thought Chloe was a catfish. I hadn't seen Too Hot to Handle, so when she came in and she was like, she had said something to the effect of like, she had wanted to have Trevor's baby or something like that. Or she was waiting, or she's going to have a baby one day or something like that. And I was like, this girl is not real. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this girl's not real. It wasn't until Savannah came and saw me and Savannah was like, no girl, wake up. I just watched the show the other day. That is her. And I had already started my alliance with Chloe. So I was like, okay, well, if we get a confirmation that she's real, then that's who I'm going to be with. And then to see her at the dinner and feel the same amount of love on the show. And even 24 hours ago, we had like a reunion thing on Twitter, like a Spaces reunion. And I had to address a lot of the internet comments. And because Chloe is so busy, she had been unaware of how much hate I was receiving. And immediately when it was over, she immediately got in touch and was like, oh my God, Courtney, I had no idea. Babes, you're a ray of sunshine. You're my boy. You need to log out. Do not pay them any attention. I love you. If you need me, call me. I swear to God. Like, she really is like a friend. For real, for real.
I love that. I mean, honestly, yeah. She's probably had a similar experience just because of the amount of people that watch Too Hot to Handle and watch The Circle. And, you know, there's inevitably going to be those people that are really vocal haters in some way and, or just critics. And I think, you know, she probably is a really good person to be friends with because she understands it probably better than a lot of people. And so that makes me so happy to hear. So as we're, you know, moving forward, I know that you have your own podcast Overheard in the Pantry. I'm so excited to see what other things you start to kind of share with the world. Is there, what are you excited about moving forward?
I think for right now, I'm just excited to reconnect with my audience and have them get to know me again, because at this point, it's so many more people. It's way more people who didn't know me before than did. So it's more so about just reintroducing myself because I'm chill as hell. Just saying. So I just want to continue to show and prove, whether that's through another podcast and a merch line. And, you know, I want to find different ways to just stay connected to my audience, Eric.
Ugh, I love that. Well, I'm excited to see it continue and honestly get an acai bowl with you in LA. Like, it's truly period. So before we say goodbye, then I want to ask you one final question, which is, okay, the world is ending. You can save one character actress. Who do you save?
You know who we got to save, Eric?
Who?
We got to save Keke Palmer.
Oh my God.
Got to save Miss Keke, period. When I was in England, this is not even about the acting. I listened to Keke Palmer's Virgo Tendencies album. She got me through the isolation. Miss Keke Palmer, gotta save her.
Keke Palmer is one of the most talented. You know what she is? Is she's not only like truly next level talented, but again, you know she's amazing to hang out with. You know there's not one single part of her being that is like obnoxious or pompous or unkind. She is so, I mean, when that video came out where she, I'm sorry to this man, I think it was like the most perfect example of how she off the cuff can be brilliant and not even try to be amazing. And yet there was no way she was planning on saying that, right? That was completely looking at a picture of Dick Cheney. She has no idea who this person is. And pat the paper, I'm sorry to this man. It's like, I quoted that for months after I saw that video.
That was me with, but the gag is, oh my God, when Keke first said that, I ran that into the under the ground. I ran it into every other sentence. I just find her to be, well, I've never met her before, but I feel like she is someone that is incredibly down to earth, sophisticated, but still fun, good natured and nurturing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I pray for you and I both to be able to meet Keke Palmer one day. And you know what, Courtney, it's going to happen for you. I'm fully in belief of that. And I can't wait to hear about it.
I hope so. Keke, call me, girl.
Hello. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on. And I can't wait to keep in touch. And congratulations on being a motherfucking star.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. If you don't follow the show Instagram, it's at Gay Ass Podcast. And again, Courtney's handle is at Courtney Revolution. And I'm at Eric Wills. Show Courtney some love. Tag him in the stories. Let him know you like this episode. And also send me a DM. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. And if there's anybody else you want us to chat with in the future. Thanks for listening and come back soon.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.